This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Thrill is gone.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box, all new 590 The Fan. As I've mentioned, the text lines are brought to you by Lion's Choice. They've been around for 50 years. They sponsor this segment, too. If you're looking for a place for lunch, why not go to the best? 25 locations in the St. Louis area. The roast beef could not be any better. It's medium rare, seasoned to perfection. It's served on a buttery bun. Nothing better than a Lion's Choice sandwich. All right, I would recommend everybody reading the Sports Business Journal, and to read Daniel Kaplan. Fascinating piece. Law firms hit ex-NFLers with settlement liens. Daniel, welcome to the program. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. How are you?
Very good. Well, explain this to our listening audience. I think they're going to be fascinated about the sad state of some of these NFL players in bad health hoping to receive some money.
Right. I mean, I'm sure most of your listeners are familiar that there was this concussion settlement, and the it could be about $1 billion, could be a little less, could be a little more. It's unclear. It goes out over 65 years. All retired players at the time of the settlement are eligible, so it's over 20,000 players. And as part of it, the NFL set aside $112 million separate from the billion dollars so that the players would not have to pay their lawyers for their cut of the share. As it turns out, and what I wrote about, is those players, and there are thousands of them, those players who signed contingency contracts with law firms before the settlement was reached, many of the law firms are holding them to those percentages, even though those law firms are in line to get some of that $112 million. Some of these players have dropped their law firms trying to get out from those percentages, and the law firms have filed liens against them, and there's hundreds. I think the number I had in my story was 320. That number, since I've written, has gone up by 20 or 30.
So the case of Kevin Turner, the former NFL player who passed away from brain disease, what is his family receiving and what is the law firm getting?
Well, Kevin Turner really was the face of this of the deal. He unfortunately passed away before the settlement became final. It was believed he had ALS. It turned out he had CTE, the brain disease that's gotten a lot of attention. And he's in line to get the biggest payout possible, which is $5 million. His old law firm, Podhurst Orsek, is holding his estate to the contingency fee. They want 25% of his payout, even though Podhurst Orsek is one of the top firms in the deal and is in line to get a large percentage of the $112 million. So basically, critics of this situation see this as double dipping. The law firms are taking twice from the NFL and from the NFL players.
Are there players like irate about this, that they're not receiving the money and the law firms are getting too high of a percentage, I should say?
Well, I mean, what got me into the story was I got contacted by one of those players, and he's actually hired. There's a lawyer who's representing players who are disputing the percentages. I mean, there's all sorts of allegations now that the law firms are doctoring forms to make it look like they did work for these former players that they didn't do. It's getting quite nasty. Yeah, I mean, now there are players that are irate, and then there are there's the standard NFL, former NFL player who's so used to everyone wanting a piece of what they have that they're not disputing this. So you're talking probably tens of millions of dollars, if not more, that will go to law firms above and beyond the $112 million the NFL is paying them.
You mentioned that figure, 25%. I know it may be tough to equate, but what do you think they're making on an average, player's lawsuit, a typical law firm involved in this?
Well, it's all over the map. It's as low as 15%. It's as high as 45%. Some of the law firms have dropped their percentages. The lead counsel in the whole class action, Seeger Weiss, has dropped its fees altogether. They've put in to take $45 million of that $112 million. So it would be quite egregious for them to also take percentages off their players.
Do the NFL make a really good deal for themselves when they, manage to settle, because it could get a lot worse?
Well, it depends whom you ask. It could have gone a lot worse. They could have, they avoid any liability. I mean, there are still individual lawsuits out there, about $150 million of them. Look, I think it's a good deal for the NFL. They remove this liability, spread over 32 clubs. It's not that onerous a financial commitment. They don't have to worry about this going forward. So, yeah, I think it's a pretty good deal for the NFL. Now, the NFL, in my mind, should be concerned about this legal issue, this law firm issue, because they went out of their way to say, we're putting aside $112 million precisely so the players don't have to pay their lawyers.
Give me an idea about moving forward. So they pay out this big number initially with this settlement, but let's just say, and the names are going to keep popping up from time to time. We hear about it all the time, whether it's Tony Dorsett or Gale Sayers, and they may be involved in the original one. But let's just say a player retired in 2005, and in 2010, he has some dementia issues. Will the NFL have to pay out there?
Anybody who was retired at the time the settlement was reached, we're talking about a year and a half ago, they're eligible. So anybody, they didn't have to, and that's another, by the way, Frank, that's another inequity in this. Those players, and there's over 10,000 of them, who didn't sign with law firms, who just got covered by the settlement without doing anything, they don't have contingency fees. So those players that signed with law firms, that got the ball rolling, that got the $1 billion, they have to pay more than those players that did nothing. Hmm. So there's a huge inequity here.
Would you anticipate this thing exploding, that we're going to have more and more of these dementia issues and there'll be more and more lawsuits in the future?
Well, if you didn't opt out, if a player who gets dementia didn't opt out of this lawsuit, they lose the right to sue the NFL. That's why this is advantageous to the NFL. There's roughly 150 players who did opt out, and their individual cases now pending before the Federal District Court in Philadelphia. But if you were a player like you described who played in 2005, retired 2010, gets dementia next year, and you did not opt out, you're eligible to apply for funds through the settlement, but you can't sue the NFL.
Another topic. I saw Bob Blitz, the St. Louis attorney, on Sunday, and I just asked him in passing, so what do you think? He says, well, nobody thinks we're going to win. I'm talking about the lawsuit against St. Louis where they accuse the NFL and Stan Kroenke and Kevin Demoff of not following the league's guidelines for moving. But he said, I feel good about it. Any thoughts from your end? What do you think could happen?
I mean, I think they have a legitimate case on the expenses they had to try to keep the team, because it does seem like the NFL was not upfront with what their intentions were. I've been very clear with my comments on that I don't think the NFL was transparent with the city of St. Louis. But in terms of the big picture expenses that they're lost revenues that Blitz is looking for, in terms of if the team had stayed this number of years, this much revenue is lost and with treble damages and all that, I don't think the league at the end of the day does have the right to relocate a franchise. I just think that the expenses, the $15-20 million that were spent trying to keep the team, wouldn't have been spent had the league been upfront that they were basically going to ignore their bylaws.
So do you think there's a realistic chance, A, St. Louis can win this lawsuit, and B, we could actually see Stan Kroenke and Kevin Demoff on the stand?
I think part of it probably stays. I mean, the part about the expenses that were you know, the money that was spent to try to keep the team. So I think part of that probably, I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but that's what my guess would be. If it survives a motion to dismiss, I would imagine the league would quickly try to settle. I would be shocked if Demoff and Kroenke showed up in a deposition well enough in a witness stand.
Yeah, especially in St. Louis, that would be hostile. What about in San Diego and Oakland? Do they threaten any type of litigation? How are they taking their desertion?
I don't think so. I mean, look, I mean, San Diego voters spoke. There was a public referendum, and the Chargers lost by quite a bit. I mean, I think Oakland did not spend that much money, not like St. Louis. I think Oakland has a similar gripe in that I do not believe the NFL was transparent and did everything they could to keep the team in Oakland. But I don't get any sense of you get the sense in Oakland that they were focused on keeping the A's and not so much the Raiders.
Yeah, how is that going to work? By the way, that they're going to be there for two more years. Will they? I know they're an emerging team, that everything is going well for them, the coach, the quarterback, the outstanding defense. How is that going to work, though? Are they just going to be embraced in Oakland for two more years and say, okay, guys, we've enjoyed it, you enjoyed Las Vegas? Or is there going to be this bitter backlash and people not showing?
It's a fascinating question. I wish I had the answer to that. Will a fan base show up if their team is playing as a lame duck for not just one year, 2 years? I suppose how they perform on the field will play into it. It's hard to say. I mean, if a team does not perform well, which is not expected, but if the team does not perform well, I would imagine a lot of empty seats. But it's a passionate fan base there. I don't know. Honestly, it's uncharted territory we've got here, where you have a lame duck for two, perhaps 3 years.
Daniel Kaplan joins us, Sports Business Journal, Hollywood Casino Press Box, and the all-new 590 The Fan. Before we let you go, I want to get a thought from you on the commissioner, who once again was nearly booed off the stage at the NFL draft. His handling of the Brady, his handling of the domestic abuse issues, just destroyed by almost everybody in the media. Tell me why he keeps his job. Is it simply because of these incredible television contracts and he's making money for his bosses? Or what do you think? Do you think public opinion one day will eventually be the demise of the commission?
If the owners thought the commissioner's unpopularity was leading to a loss of revenues, they'd throw him over the side quicker than I could hang up the phone here. That's clear. But that's not happening. Revenues continue to go up. He's a good businessman. He's very good at the politics of herding the 32 owners into a coalition. So, at the end of the day, he speaks. You know, he represents 32 owners. He doesn't represent the public. He doesn't represent the players. And if the 32 owners are happy with him and want to pay him some gargantuan sum, that's their prerogative. He does seem to have quite a few high-profile slip-ups. I think the way this relocation process went down with the three cities, teams leaving, is a serious black mark on his agenda, on his resume. But it's up to the owners. Now his deal is up in 2019, so that's shortly before the CBA and TV contracts are up. So it's an interesting time for the NFL coming up.
Good stuff, Daniel. We appreciate your time. Thank you so much, sir.
All right, thank you.
All right, Daniel Kaplan joining us, Sports Business Journal. All right, before we go to break, quick word about our title sponsor, Hollywood Casino. They sponsor this show, and we recommend a nice trip out there to enjoy a beautiful weekend at their newly refurbished rooms, have some fun at 99 Hops House, or have a great dinner at Charlie Gito's Steakhouse, the Final Cut Steakhouse, or my favorite, the All-You-Can-Eat Buffet. We'll take some text and some phone calls. Are the Cardinals for real as we speak? What moves for the Blues in the offseason? This is Hollywood Casino Press Box. We'll be right back.